Lent begins 40 days to pray, fast, and grow in charity. I've often said before, I don't like Lent, I need Lent. I like Advent much better. But we as a church and as people need this season to step back and to re-examine our lives, to humbly turn from sin, to seek to grow in virtues that God so deeply has bestowed upon us. The 40 days of Lent are meant to imitate the 40 days of Jesus in the desert. In fact, we're called not only to imitate Jesus in this time, but to live with him, in him, and through him. We know that as with baptism, Jesus did not need that time of 40 days of fasting and prayer in the desert so as to obtain holiness himself. He is, as we know, God himself. But Jesus entered into the desert to fast and to pray, and so to invite us to join with him, to allow our lives to experience conversion. The question we ask of ourselves in this beautiful gathering of so many of you today is, are we ready to begin these 40 days with Jesus Christ? While in the desert, Jesus himself manifested perfect human nature, a man like us in all things but sin, as we pray in the fourth Eucharistic prayer. But the desert we're called to enter into is that one very often is hidden from the eyes of those around us, but is known to God alone. The 40-day desert we must enter into is one that will transform us in that standard format of deeper prayer, detachment from anything but God, and fills us with love that we act charitably. During these 40 days, there must be prayer. And pray, as we know, prayer is communication with God on the deepest of the level, where we listen more than we speak. And of course, the greatest prayer is the Mass, and many people come to daily Mass during the season of Lent. But it also is time throughout the day and some moment of quiet when we allow God to speak to us. On Tuesdays, I celebrate Mass for the Missionaries of Charity, Mother Teresa's sisters in the convent at St. Patrick's in Hilliard. And the sisters in their ministry and outreach to neighborhood children, to shut-ins, they travel to Pasco in the summertime to work with the children of farm workers. The sisters have a way of teaching prayer to children, simplistic but very profound in its lesson. And the sisters use the hand. And as they explain it, they said, pray first with the thumb that's closest to one's heart. Family and friends are closest, so pray for them. Your own needs should be included in that. The second finger is the one used for pointing. Pray for those who point us to truth, whether in the church or in school, mentors, pastors, priests, sisters, teachers, those who inspire us. The third finger, the tallest of the fingers, points to those in authority, whether in civil government or in the church. Pray for them that they will lead by example, humbly speaking the truth. The fourth of the fingers, the ring finger, is often called the weakest, but it stands for those who are in trouble and pain, the sick, the injured, the abused, the wounded, the hurt, the refugee. And our smallest of finger, the pinky, is the smallest. By that, we pray for those who go unnoticed, those who suffer abuse and desperation, the forgotten. That points us in a very simple way as how we might pray. But we also know that there's fasting. And in our day and age, people are very concerned about their health. But the truth be told, we are overwhelmed at times by the five senses, especially the areas of activity and noise. Our five senses need a break from this bombardment so that we can be one with the Lord. He speaks loudest in the silence of our hearts. And yet we're called to give, to be charitable. And perhaps in the charities that you have selected in your life, those that you give, the work of the Church of our diocese, I might suggest to give to the St. Vincent de Paul Society. The various councils of our diocese often go unnoticed as two by two, much like the disciples, They reach out and help families that are in need, the paying of bills for utility, the providing of food and clothing. These simple words practically applied, prayer, fasting, and charitable giving, enable us to see the ways that God is in our life. If we do so, we will have greater awareness of the peace of Christ. He will free us from the selfishness that often binds us, and he will give us that grace spoken of in our second reading that will enable us to love God and others on the deepest of all levels.